Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Oh, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 224, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist. It's a production of iHeartRadio. Yes, it's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared unconsciousness. It's fucking Friday. Thank goodness. February 18th, 2022. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Christina, I would love to play Scattergories, or I could give you a foot rub. I'm living my life just like an Entourage. Okay, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man, at Waffle House, because, yes, I was talking about my time in Christina Aguilera's Entourage, filled with Scattergories and foot rubs. And, you know, I was maybe living my best life then, or maybe my worst life. I don't know. TBD. But enough about me, and more about today's guest co-host. I am thrilled to be joined at the helm with one of the most brilliant writers, okay? Someone who has one of the highest degrees in the land when it comes to writing. Their movie takes, infallible. Whatever they say is fucking law when it comes to film. That's just my take. This person is one of the first, actually, I'm going to just say one of basically the original Paddington evangelists. And I think that's really important for all the Paddington hype that there. I can almost draw direct lines straight to this person's brain. They're a hilarious comedian as well. But, and you know, they also host the Bechdel cast. I don't even have to say more. Please welcome the anagrammed nine-tit Dracula, a.k.a. Caitlin Durante.
Hello. Hi. Thank you so much for having me. And I don't, unfortunately, have a new anagram today because I've been too busy. One, playing Wordle. All of my word skills are going to Wordle.
Okay.
And I've also been too busy playing Pokemon for Arceus. Mm-hmm. Everyone is going to just...
No, they're gonna say, we feel you on that. Because the second you said it, everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know somebody who lost their life to that game. So... Seems like
But I also, I was like hesitating because I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Because I'm a fake fan.
As a Japanese person, the fact that people aren't saying Pokemon,
I can already, you know, I can already scorch the earth with my anger about that. So
sure.
They don't have room to check anybody's pronunciation. But yes, you good, Caitlin? What's new?
I'm good. Yeah, just the playing video games and ruining my life with them instead of, you know, doing work or showering. And that's me in a nutshell right now.
I mean, to be really candid, do you have like, look, I go through like valleys and peaks of bathing, depending on my emotional state. Do you have like a moment where you go, nope, all right, we've crossed the line. It's time. It's like my hair is so oily that it feels like it's made of wires and I can put it into different shapes. What do you?
That's me right now. I did shower yesterday, but I was like, do I need to wash my hair? I can go a few more days.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'd love to know about having natural hair oils, but my scalp is pretty exposed due to male pattern baldness. Okay. Let's move on to welcome today's guest. This is somebody who, you know, as a very talented writer, comedian. You may have seen her on a TV show called Conan. Ever heard of it? I have.
So have I.
Maybe you're in the LA area and you've heard of the longest running all-female and female identifying stand-up comedy show at the Hollywood Improv, the Mermaid Comedy Hour, because she hosts and produces that. Also, you may have heard of her number one debut comedy album, Beach Tridash. I'm sorry to put a little bit of slang on that. I'm sorry, Beach Trash. I'll call it by its Christian name. And also, I just love this part of her bio. When she's not slinging jokes, you can find her pumping quarters into the Jurassic Park pinball table while quoting Dennis Nedry. We got dots in here. See, nobody cares. Please welcome today's guest, Valerie Tozer.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for getting that reference, because some people don't, and it makes me very upset.
Oh, really? Well, I think in the pinball game, it's always,
Yep.
You didn't say that. I think that's the one that goes through. Look, I love that pinball.
It's so good. Well. It's such a good table.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yep. I used to play it a lot at my local 7-Eleven when that was basically the arcade in North Hollywood. But yeah, Valerie, welcome.
Thanks.
Where are you coming to us from?
I'm in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That would make sense. You do a longest running show at the Hollywood Improv. So that would put you squarely in this
that
area.
Tracks. Yeah. That's yeah. Yeah.
You playing any video games? Anything ruining your life? Anything taking your attention recently?
I mean, I showed my family Wordle when I was home, and I also found the Wordle archives. So I'm lost. There's no hope for me. I'm only taking a break to do this podcast, and then I'm back into the void.
Right back to work. When you said you went home, where's home?
Well, so my parents' home's Boston, but my folks moved to Florida in the middle of the pandemic because perfect timing. Let's go where it's the worst. And so they're there now, and I was there seeing them. So
yeah, nice.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, look, Valerie, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better, as will our listeners. But first, let's give a little preview about what we're gonna talk about today. Spoiler alert, apparently working at Tesla is a racist hellscape for black workers. We'll look into a really eye-opening lawsuit that is being filed against the electric car manufacturer, as well as talking about, you know, speaking of tech weirdness, if you worked at Facebook, you know, there's always like names for people who work at companies at Google's or like Googlers or something. And if you're at Facebook, you used to be a Facebooker. Well, now that they're Meta, Mark Zuckerberg has a new name that they will go by to completely try and escape their former reputation. They're now MetaMates. And we'll talk about what that entails because apparently it's like they've got a new attitude and we'll see how that new attitude is shaking up in some Instagram censorship. Very weird stuff happening there. But look, you know, billionaires got to watch billionaires' backs. Then we'll talk about the Olympics. Look, I knew that we all know that the Olympics are like super wasteful. I didn't realize like how much they were doing to make Beijing a place for the Winter Olympics. So we'll talk about the efforts that they are going through to make snow appear in a place that barely gets snow. And we'll obviously have to touch on just a hot debate that's been on the show. Just talking about like people have talked about breakfast for dinner, dinner for breakfast as a concept. But people say, you know, breakfast kind of edges out because it has a dessert component built in via pancakes, French toast, waffles. We'll have to settle the debate in the pancakes versus waffles debate. And we'll do that live here. So stay tuned for that. But first, before we do any of that, Valerie, what is something from your search history that, you know, reveals a little bit about who you are, where you are, what you are?
Oh, God. well, when I was home, or I should say visiting my folks, it's weird to call it home or whatever. But when I was in Florida, I was staying with my parents. And one of the last things that I Googled was, if the 2001 Odyssey strip club is 24 hours or not, because I told my dad that it's a giant spaceship. And he's like, well, I want to go. And I was like, please don't make me take my father to a strip club. I would sooner die. So that is the most recent thing I Googled.
What? Wait, hold on. What? Kaylin Dronte, I mean, as a film buff, mm-hmm. I'm sure you said
I've
what?
I've got a lot of questions.
2001 Space Odyssey Strip Club?
It's a 2001 Odyssey Strip Club, oh, yes. And sorry. It is okay, let's not, we don't want to cease and desist for them. Okay?
right.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like it's a spaceship strip club. JB Ball actually told me about it because he's from Tampa and that's where it is. And wow.
So
wait, is it so it's not called 2001 A Space Odyssey, it's 2001 Odyssey. But it sounds influenced by the Kubrick film.
Yep.
Okay, it is. Okay. Yeah. And then in what ways does that manifest visually and physically throughout the club? Do you know?
Well, you see a different kind of big red eye on stage.
Oh,
and it's not
you
out.
Absolute monster.
I had to.
And also a different just like upright phallus.
Right.
It's literally, the strip club is literally in the space. It is a spaceship. Like, that's literally what it is. That's the only reason why I am intrigued, because I am an X-Files nerd. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go up there and immediately just go ask about Mulder's sister. Like, I can't wait.
Where is she, you cowards?
She works.
Where do you have her?
Yeah, she got abducted by the strip club and that's where she's been. That's, you know, can't help it.
Oh, wait, you mean Cinnamon? She's about to go on right now. Like, she's right here. Wait, so when you say, so the exterior, I'm so sorry, because I love sci-fi. So in my mind, I'm like, are they nerdy strip club owners? And they're like, when you come in, the doors, like the interior feels spaceship, or you go inside and it's the same sort of like stinks of spilled beer and everything's painted black.
We ended up not going.
Okay.
Honestly, thank God. And I still think it's just like a weird, gross strip club. Like, I think other than the allure of it being a kitschy name and a kitschy shape, I don't think there's any other crossover than that.
Got it. Their website. Wow. Really something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There should be more themed strip clubs, though. I would go all the time.
Oh, yeah.
If there was, like, whatever, a Star Wars, a Jurassic Park.
Hello? Are you kidding me? I want to watch somebody in Dennis Nedry cosplay just dripping.
Yeah, or like a Barbasol shaving cream like outfit.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like where they're hiding the embryos, you know, they're like, oh no, the embryos are in there. And we got dots in here. What would they call that place? Deus Sex Machina? I know we talked about Deus Rex Machina, Caitlin, about the T-Rex coming out.
Of course. There's, let me think on it.
Jurassic Park, I guess, is what you call that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, they could call it Isla Nudar.
Oh, yes, deep cut. There we go. People, someone familiar with the lore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go. I feel like I'd go to any strip club if it was themed, just because the effort feels like, you know, it earns some bit of interaction.
Totally.
Like, unless it's like Wild West or like some antebellum shit. Like, no, I'm good.
Right.
Or even just make it a pop up strip club where. You can change the theme all the time, you know?
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Wait. Spared no sex spence?
Oh, my God. Are they heavy? Then they're expensive. Put them back. those night vision goggles. Who could forget?
But even, you can even just picture it, too, because you know that, like, Jeff Goldblum, like, that sexy image of him laying back with his shirt open that's everywhere.
Gosh.
Like, that's the flyer.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man,
well, I'm Jeff Goldblum, and welcome to Chaos Theory.
It's a Chaos Theory, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And look, Tampa, I know we got Tampa Zeitgang out there. If you know about 2001 Odyssey, please hit us up. I know some of y'all have stories about that place, and... You know, like, I'm sure they're not all great, but we love a themed anything. Would you go to a Paddington themed strip club, Caitlin? Does that feel like too?
I knew that question was coming. And have an answer prepared. Okay. Paddington is an ace icon. He's asexual, and I don't think we need to be bringing
titillation into it.
They're two separate things, you know. Yeah. Paddington, and he's just so pure, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
But he's already in a trench coat. It's just literally, it's so easy.
It's a duffel coat, but
Be careful. Be careful, Valerie.
Excuse me?
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, no. Okay. Well, this has been fun.
I have to go. No, I mean, I don't know. I do go back and forth on this, but I think that because Paddington is ace, and that's not really canon. That's my headcanon. But I want to separate Paddington and sex for that reason.
Okay, what about like Hogwarts? Is that fair game?
That already sounds it's like a strip club. Are you
that
kidding
has
me?
To be one, right? Yes, Hogwarts. You're like, yeah. It's a
yeah. What are you gonna get here? Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. It's mostly for people into dermatological phenomenons.
But like, ooh, like a Lord of the Rings strip club. There's a lot of stuff there. I'm sure.
Yeah. And Gandalf is like the bouncer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you shall not pass, like, because you have a fake ID.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know? Got it. Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Look, hit us up for free strip club ideas. That will get you sued immediately. Valerie, now that we know what you're searching, let us know something you think is overrated.
I just realized that there's a connection to these two things, but it was completely accidental. Honestly, eggplant. Get the fuck out of here with that.
Wow.
I can't. It's so, the texture of it, so gross. Let zucchini and summer squash do the heavy lifting. They've got it under control. Get out of here with this. It's so gross.
You don't like how it kind of gets a little gooey, mushy?
Oh, so nasty. It's like the weirdest texture. And it's like, it's like worse than a mushroom, because at least a mushroom like really picks up the flavor of whatever you're cooking it in, where eggplant is just this like weird, like it's like wet but dry. I don't know. It's so weird.
I'm curious, what was the last time, the last preparation of eggplant that you had, that you enjoyed, just experienced?
I ate it accidentally the other day when I ordered some tempura veggies, and they slipped some eggplant in there, and I was like, absolutely, not on my watch.
You don't want to, I feel like something that's like, you know, if it's cooked down like a baba ganoush, you know, most people don't realize you're just eating straight up eggplant. Okay. It's so garlicky.
Eggplant tapenade, I will throw myself over a bridge. I can't do it.
Wow. Just the texture. Caitlin, what do you think?
Aubergine. Would have to agree.
Wow.
It is called aubergine, isn't it?
Yeah.
I never buy it. I never order it anywhere. Every so often, I'll be somewhere where there's like a buffet situation, and maybe there's like eggplant parmesan, and I'm like, let me see if I like this yet. The answer is always no.
You know what, though? Zucchini parm is really good. I've made like lasagna and stuff with zucchini, and it's awesome. But eggplant is absolutely
I guess because, zucchini holds its shape more. So in that sense, it has. Yeah, I get it. If you don't like the mushy stuff. I love mushy, gooey, slimy. Like, I love okra, you know.
I like okra. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm really trying to zero in on where they've gone wrong with the aubergine. Because in Japan, like, we eat a lot with, like, it'll be roasted with, like, miso on it. And so the flavor is super good. And you don't get, like, there's nothing worse than, like, a unripe eggplant that's, like, cooked. And you're just like, what the f-? I get that. It's an odd experience. But to each their own. And finally, Valerie, what is something that you think is underrated?
Well, we kind of talked about it, but pinball. I feel like people don't have respect for the game. And I'm here to, you know, just say... let's see how good you are at pinball. I'm on a pinball league because I'm a dork. So,
oh, really?
Cool.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's really, really fun. But I think, and it has like a badass history too. Like, it was illegal for 30 years in this country. A lot of people don't know that.
I just learned about that because I watched Licorice Pizza.
Yep.
Which I will keep my opinions to myself, but I did absolutely deeply hate it. But anyway. But I did learn something from that movie.
Yep.
You know why it was bad? Because they didn't have the real Legends of the Valley, Miles Gray, in that film. You know what
I mean? That's true.
They're putting the wrong people in it.
I know.
I should have been Licorice Pizza.
You
That's
are
one
Mr.
of the characters,
Licorice
right?
Pizza.
Thank
that sounds
you.
Like a great strip club name for Odyssey.
Ah.
Yeah. Or stripper name, I should say.
licorice
and here,
pizza.
And here we have next up is licorice pizza.
Wait, it was illegal for 30 years? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, why was it illegal? They thought it was a gambling or some shit?
Yes, because kids were spending a lot of money on it and they were branding it as gambling because it was looked at as a game of chance versus a game of skill. And so once they kind of essentially rebranded it and changed things to it, that's when they brought it back in the 70s. And it was still always manufactured here. Like Chicago is the biggest hub for where all the pinball manufacturers are. And they were just sending them overseas. But
is that like Midway?
Yeah, there's like Midway, Bally, Stern, Gottlieb, right. You know, like all those. And so it was illegal for over 30 years, which is super. Like LaGuardia was literally burning them. That's how crazy it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Fiorillo, please, honey.
Calm down.
Pinball machines, which is so funny because I remember one of the first pinball machines I remember was playing a Doctor Who one. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what Doctor Who was. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is there a phone booth like as part of this game? It makes no sense. And then I remember an adult was like, it's a TARDIS. And I was like, okay, I'm 9 and I'm waiting for the Jurassic Park machine to get here, which I think is one of my favorite machines to play.
It's really fun. Because there's the one from the 90s from when the original movie came out. And there's also one for The Lost World, too. That's like the second movie. And that one's, they had it. There was a place in the Valley that had it for a while, but I think it went out of business from COVID. But it was fun. There's like a big egg in it. It's really weird.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And like the little dinosaur is trying to come out, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Valerie, have you been to, it's either in Highland Park or Eagle Rock. It's just like a bar that has like,
I'm like
several
probably.
Dozen pinball. It's like a pinball machine bar.
There's a few because I think there's one in Highland Park that I think we drove by that was called, I think it was called, was it Barcade? There's a new place that's over there.
I think and there's
also a really, I'll give them a plug because it's a new business that's awesome. There's a new comic book like kind of nerd store called Revenge Of that's in Highland Park. And they have a separate room that is designed. I can't remember if it's the interior of like one of the Star Wars ships or from Alien. But they have a bunch of pinball tables back there. And they're all brand new tables. And like they play so well. And it's super rad. So check them out if you're in Highland Park. They're awesome.
Nice.
So when you play in a league, is it just like every like each week or something, each match day will be like one table that everybody has to compare their scores? Or how does it work?
I don't know if every league is the same, but the one that I'm on, the way they do it is there's different divisions. There's like, because when you meet up for the first day, because it's like an 8-week season and then the finals, they do it where everybody plays and they track the scores and then they look at all the scores after that first meetup and then they place everybody into divisions. So like A, B, C, and D. And then so you're competing against people in your own division. So you're kind of matched up skill level wise. And then the way that it works is you play, I forget how many tables a night. I want to say it's probably like either 6 or 8. And you get matched up with like 2 to 3 other people and you play one table and you take turns and you just do like, keep going. Mm-hmm. And then you move on to the other table and you keep track of all the points. And there's like different ways that they rank and stuff like that. It's actually a lot more complicated. And I have a lot of respect for the guys that run it because I'm like, right. I can't even imagine trying to handle all this.
Okay. As someone who plays competitively or you're getting into it, I like to always play for fun.
Yep.
I don't really have any rhyme or reason to how I play. Do you have a tip for people like something you never considered when playing pinball that you actually need to? You know, to actually kind of think about these are the little things you have to do to kind of end up getting to those higher levels.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people, they don't really know, they don't quite understand how to play it. They don't realize how much like kind of, I guess, like math and like physics is involved and like things like that, where they'll just go up and they'll kind of just start batting stuff around. And so I usually will walk up to a table and kind of assess where all the flippers are and like if there's anything listed on the table that tells you what like the skill shot or the secret skill shot or any of that stuff is on there. And also like can treat your flippers as completely separate because they are. A lot of people will play them both at the same time.
Right.
And that's how you end up losing the ball a lot. And so there's like other things that you can see, too, when the ball drops, you can kind of see where it hits, because if you hold one of the flippers up, as the ball drops, it'll immediately bounce it over to the other flipper if that's where you need to use it to hit it on something on the other side. So there's like little tricks like that. And like there's tons of stuff on YouTube, too, that you can check out. And it's like it's really once you start to really get into it, it's so fun.
Right. Oof. These are skills I need to consider.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I definitely just like mashing both, and then it goes always between the two flippers. I'm like, fuck my life.
Yeah. I know. And like once I really, because I didn't realize I was doing that for a long time, and then I was like, oh, you idiot. And then like it completely changes the way you play and how much better you get. And playing competitively is like a different environment too, because when you're playing for fun, you're going through like all your turns at once. But then when you're doing it competitively, it's like you play one ball, then you have to wait like while three other people play theirs and then come back, and it's loud and it's like, you know, cramped, and it's just a different style you have to get used to.
Yeah. Oh shit. Okay. Pinball pros, also holler at me. If you're in Tampa Bay and you know about 2001 Odyssey, hit us up. If you're a professional pinball player, you have some sick tips, hit us up. Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about racism at Tesla.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we are back. And Elon Musk. Let's talk about Elon Musk really quick. He has had a wild couple of weeks. He's had to pretend to donate billions of dollars to himself in a move to distract people from another story that came out that his Neuralink company was basically unethically experimenting on monkeys, where many were dying after he's like, put this brain chip in them. Oh, it's untold suffering? I don't know, whatever. And now we're hearing about a lawsuit from some of his black employees in a Fremont, California factory claiming that, you know, the workplace is a racist hellscape. You'd be surprised. They're like, oh, wow, really? The guy who, the boy with emeralds in his pocket from apartheid South Africa, letting race, anti-black racism cook in his facilities? I don't know. I mean, obviously, he doesn't run HR, but it's his company. So you're going to have to we'll have to, you know, look into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So this lawsuit has been following through. It's like comes after a 3-year investigation into Tesla. And it alleges that black and African-American employees at the company's Fremont plant are, quote, segregated to the lowest levels, meaning in some places, black employees are meant to scrub the floors on their hands and knees, where employees who are not black did not have to do that kind of labor, also being subjected to some of like the hardest physical labor within the plant. Quote, this is from an NPR article that goes on to say, quote, the lawsuit describes multiple instances of racist language and drawings toward black employees, penalizing black employees more harshly than white employees and denying black employees career advancement opportunities and equal pay for work similar to that of other employees. When they say racist language and drawings, we're talking about graffiti that was like fucking all over the place, according to this lawsuit, like everywhere. The bathroom stalls, workbenches, lunch tables. With things like KKK, hangman's nooses, go back to Africa, using the N-word in all kinds of ways that you can imagine. And this is on top of, like they said, of being such a segregated environment that some of these racist coworkers had given nicknames to the parts of the factory where most of the black employees were working every day. They would refer to some parts of the factory as, quote, the slave ship or the plantation, in addition to other slurs. One black worker, quote, heard these racial slurs as often as 50 to 100 times a day. It's a very, very fucked up story. And sadly, this isn't the first time this shit has happened, because another former employee was just awarded by a judge almost $140 million for the racism that they had to endure at Tesla. And like in their defense, Tesla just posted to their blog with this rebuttal that essentially said it like, we've been investigated like 50 times for racial discrimination, and not once did they find us to be acting in violation of the law. And it's like, I'm sorry, 50 times?
That's so insane. It's like when my parents, like, I was sneaking out of the house all the time as a kid, but I never got caught. It doesn't mean I wasn't sneaking out of the house. It just means right. I wasn't getting caught. Like,
right.
Insane.
It's a very, yeah. I mean, that, like, that, I don't think, I guess they think that's a good defense. Although, like, even like the like labor board was sort of like, a lot of even their internal, like, investigations aren't compliant with, like, the actual law. So, you know, it's like most organizations that investigate themselves where they're sort of like, yeah, let me look. Okay, yep. Clears. Yep.
Yeah. No lies say, detected.
See anything.
Yeah. 100%. It's yeah. So this Elon Musk nonsense continues. And then not to mention that this week too, he's like shit posting like Hitler memes, talking about Trudeau because of like, you know, them trying to hold up crypto payments to the racist convoy. And It was like a meme of Hitler that said, like, hey, don't compare to me to him. I had a budget. And it's like, what are you thinking?
God, the fuck.
He's like, such a gremlin. He's giving gremlins a bad name.
Yeah. Leave Gizmo alone. Leave Gizmo out of this.
You're right.
It's like even the moment I ever heard his name, like the last, his name literally sounds like a Batman villain. Like he doesn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like this. There, no good can come from somebody named Elon Musk. Are you kidding me?
Musk. The name is too many hard consonant sounds, and that feels like a It sounds like a swear word already.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's just funny because he's, as he, you know, goes more and more like openly or like right wing, like what his like fans are going to be like, are they also going to be like, yeah, man, fucking the Holocaust didn't happen, but like, we got to have electric cars. We really need to think about like, is that the weird byproduct of Elon Musk? Like, I don't.
Right. It's such a conundrum to me because it's like, we need like that type of technology, electric or like some alternative to, you know, burning fossil fuels and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, yeah, electric cars sounds good to me, but the main, like the one of the biggest manufacturers of them is a, like, just
a piss pot.
Piss pot.
A chamber yeah. pot of a human, I would yeah. say. As we yeah. would say back in Victorian England.
It also always boggles my mind when people have they consider these types of people, they're like heroes and will go to battle for them no matter what. Where I'm like, what this? Do you think if you were in a real world scenario where you met this person that they would even give any type of shit about you?
No.
It's like so wild to me that they put them on a pedestal when I'm like, they would literally step on your neck if they had a chance. Like, it's yeah. crazy.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. People have, you know, everyone has these odd parasocial relationships, and the ones with like billionaires are like really confounding to me mm-hmm. because they're like they're actually like the root cause of all the chaos and instability that you're feeling down on the other end of like the socioeconomic ladder. Like,
right.
But your anger that you're actually using to defend Elon Musk, you're it's completely misdirected. And I get for a lot of people, he feels like this fucking like fantasy story of like a guy who likes science, who like is now like this, you know, like shitty version of what's the dude from Iron Man? You know what I mean?
Oh,
Tony
Stark.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. He's like the new, like, you know, his own hair plugged version of Tony Stark. And in that sense, you know, like, no shade. I remember the old photos of you when PayPal came out in 2000. Very different hairline, but that's the glow up that we can experience with billions of dollars. So.
Right.
One day. I'll get, and that's why I defend him for my right to get hair.
Honestly,
plugs.
I'm starting to see a correlation between people becoming worse humans when they get hair plugs. It's like infecting their brain. You know what I mean?
Right. Ooh. I mean, so Jeremy Piven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hair that the plugs took him to an interesting path. Although he's been pretty quiet, I feel. Who else?
I think
Antonio Banderas. See, that's people don't know about his plugs.
Wait, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know.
You know what I mean?
Hang on a second.
Well, that you need a lot if you're going to be a cat. Sorry. Stupid reference. deep cut of Puss in Boots. Anybody? No? All right.
I got you. What about Billy Zane? I mean, he's the best. So.
Is he? Oh, yeah. How do his plugs look? They look good?
Well, I don't even know if he's using them anymore. Maybe he got
Can unplugged. You take them out? What?
Or maybe you never had them. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about Travolta. Billy Zane and plugs. I
mean, is Travolta wearing toupees or plugs?
Mm. I think he's wearing a whole new face. Like, it's kind
right?
of
face off. Speaking of, Nicolas Cage, I feel like, has plugs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's tried... He was kind of like back in those 90s films when his hair looked different every film and like nobody really just asked about it. They're like, yeah. He looks great. You're like, hold on now. Did they have the same hair and makeup person on this other film? Maybe not. But yeah, shout out to Billy Zane, because you say Billy Zane is a cool guy still.
I mean, I don't know him personally, but based on his performance in Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he is the villain, but
right.
isn't the iceberg actually the villain? I would say that Billy Zane
Man's
seems
greed.
Cool, is my point.
Yeah. Someone said that he had some kind of disorder that made him bald. And I'm just reading a Reddit thread, so don't believe anything I'm reading right now. And then someone said, no, in an interview, he said it was just male pattern baldness started when he was 25.
Okay.
Anyway,
thank you, Reddit.
Wasn't he
thank
the
you,
shadow?
Aggressive Reddit user.
Yeah. For defending Billy Zane's lack of hair and the root causes of it. But yeah, shout out to for the people who got plugs and went positive with it.
We need you.
That's a big yeah, we need you more than ever. Speaking of tech weirdness, Let's talk about Facebook really quick. So Facebook obviously became such a toxic brand as more and more people realize it's just meetup.com for bigots and anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. But not to mention the fact that every person that leaves there has horror stories about how, like, the company knows how bad shit is and their hand in it. And they still don't care because it's all about growth, baby. Mm-hmm. It's all about growth. Well, in October, they rebranded. Not they. Fucking Mark Zuckerberg, okay, realized, like, fuck, man. Facebook makes people's, the word Facebook makes people's skin crawl. So let's try to do something different. How about Meta? But I think most young people have rejected that attempt at, like, a brand wardrobe change. And I will always call it Facebook. I do not recognize Meta because I'm not going to let them do that. But they also wanted to, you know, pivot to the metaverse. And again, not many people cared. But like I said, what does it mean for the people that have to work for Mark Zuckerberg? What do they call themselves now?
Most importantly, he came out, what is their name?
They're Meta Mates, folks. Okay, so
okay, that sounds like a knockoff brand of Dunkaroos. Like, it's so stupid. So dumb.
Because it's the fucking the kangaroo, yeah. That'd be Metamites. Hey kids, get your Dunkin' cookies with Metamites. Near with Chocor. Chocor the Aardvark. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, Metamates. I will never forget that off-brand Dunkaroos. You know, their old values used to be things like be bold, focus on impact. Now, Mark has brought in new mottos, which are now, quote, live in the future. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. That's actually it's violent to completely ignore the present because the future doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Build awesome things. Okay, that's pretty vague. And focus on long-term impact.
Okay.
What? They really went meta, like, so far out. They're like, none of these things actually mean anything.
Yeah.
And now the new, like, slogan is Metamates me, as he posted triumphantly in a Facebook post. I don't know what that
sounds
means.
Like, so, a divorcee's memoir. Like, it's like so stupid.
Right.
They need someone. Who is on their branding team?
Yeah, this is bad.
They got a few interesting people on there. So in this post, he says, quote, I've always believed that in order for values to be useful, they need to be ideas that good companies can reasonably disagree with or emphasize differently. Huh? Mm-hmm. For the values to be useful, they have to be ideas that you can reasonably disagree with. Having trouble unpacking.
Yeah. Like, to hire Aaron Sorkin to come in and write his dialogue, much like he did for The Social Network, because none of this makes any sense.
Or he needs to start doing cocaine.
Reasonably argue? Is that what it is?
Reasonably disagree.
Oh, yeah.
With.
There's been a lot of reasonably disagreeing on Facebook. Like,
yeah. Like, if your values are like inclusivity, you're saying it's got to be something you can reasonably disagree with. Inclusivity?
Yeah.
Like, how do you reasonably disagree? Whatever. I'm getting too into the words when they really mean nothing. Right. And then he goes on to say, quote, I think these values capture how we must act as a company to bring our vision to life. Again, vague tech talk. Don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You should have just rebranded as Smoke and Mirrors, because that's all it is.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think many people are curious what this fucking vision is exactly, because in the last couple of days, people have pointed out that Instagram posts are now coming with content warnings when the content seems to be talking about, like, corporate greed. Whoa. So the economic left
that's the thing we're putting a warning on, is corporate greed.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is what's wild. So Dan Price, who's like, you know, he's like, you know, branded himself as like the CEO who stands up for the little guy. He's like, if you see his face, he looks like the Aphex Twin mask, but like a real guy. So he posted a tweet that said, ExxonMobil, highest profit in 7 years. Chevron, highest profit in 7 years. Shell, highest profit in 7 years. BP, British Petroleum, highest profit in 8 years. Gas prices, highest in 7 years. Guess it's just that inflation. And underneath, they have a content label that says, missing context. The same information was reviewed by independent fact checkers in another post. Okay. How about this one? Another Instagram post just took a screen cap of a tweet from Kasim Rashid at Kasim Rashid on Twitter, posted Chipotle, 26% profit increase, raising prices. Starbucks, 31% profit increase, raising prices. McDonald's, 59% profit increase, raising prices. Shell, Mobil, BP, 60% profit increase, raising prices. There's not a labor shortage. This isn't inflation. It is 100% corporate greed. And again, the label, missing context, the same information. Blah, 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 blah. So this like group of independent fact checkers, when you kind of look at it, they're not really into. Two of them are like think tanks that are far from being like, you know, nonpartisan by any stretch. They had a fucking article that said like inflation is actually, quote, caused by big federal spending, heightened demand and supply problems, all of which have accompanied the pandemic. So I'm sorry, what that sounds like a lot of partisan talk right there. Big federal spending. Are we talking about what, like child tax credits? Are we talking about PPP loans? Are we talking about the stimulus checks that people got? And right. Is that what your article is saying? It's actually the neediness of the poors that caused the inflation. Also, we're making so much money, we don't know what the fuck to do with it right now.
Also, I'm confused about the content of these missing context warnings that just say the same information was reviewed by independent fact checkers in another post.
Yeah.
Like that. What it, well, that it's other like, post okay.
will show you this nonsense, like what they're actually talking about. And you're like, this is so fucking ridiculous. So you're going to, as we're dealing with like the worst inequality that I've ever known, I think most of us have ever known, we're now going to put these content warnings on things being like, hey, man, this is true. This stuff that I'm saying is true. Now, I get maybe they want to argue the nuances of economics. But if you look at every single like shareholders, like earnings call transcript, any kind of quarterly report where the C-suite has to articulate what their plans have been to keep profits up, they all say that they're raising prices to keep the profits high.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are talking about all this, like, you know, big federal fucking spending really fucked us this year. They're saying, no, man, we can squeeze more out of people right now.
Right.
It's infuriating. Like it really is. And like, especially just knowing how much money is out there and how just such a small percentage of people have it. And mm-hmm. I can't imagine having that amount of money and watching so many people suffer and just being like, oh, that sucks. Well, time to get on my private jet, go to the Maldives.
Right.
Like, it's like so wild to me, the disconnect.
Yeah, exactly. And you have like that guy, Charlie Munger, who's like Warren Buffett's like right-hand man.
Okay, that last name already. I can't.
Oh, this guy's disgusting.
All these villain names.
Yeah.
Charlie like, Munger. You're like, it's Munger. He's going to fight the Batman next. You know, like this fucking guy, right? We've talked about him on this show because he's sort of styled himself as like an architect and like designer of like, you know, new age buildings and things like that. He's the guy who's designed like windowless dorms that are like everyone in Santa Barbara's like, please don't build this at UCSB. Like what you're building is like some fucked up panopticon windowless prison for students and it's not going to work. He mm-hmm. recently came out and was saying like, these poor people are attacking our wealth because they're jealous. So we are now in the player hater phase, their haters phase of the wealthy looking at people talking about inequality. Just haters. That's all it is. It's when you know you've completely lost it.
Yeah. I just think I'm still stuck on this missing context thing where it's like, I feel like if I just like tweeted a joke and then there would be like a warning at the end, at the bottom of it that said like missing context, another person tweeted another joke. Like the
right.
content of this makes, I just, maybe I don't understand what the intent is behind it, but I'm just like, what do you, this is all meaningless.
Okay. Yeah. You remember when the, when everybody was doing those CDC tweets, like the CDC says, so mm-hmm. I tweeted one about, I was like, the CDC says that you can now put cocaine in soda again. And, and like Forbes picked up a bunch of those tweets and we're talking about it. And they literally put a disclaimer on like in the article about my tweet. That's like, this isn't true. Like you can't, they're not saying you can do that. I was like, yeah, man. Like people know.
Joke.
Like right. It's so insane.
Wow. Yeah. They're, like when you actually look at what they say, oh, this is the other article, right? That it's checked. It says AFP fact check, corporate price hikes are not root cause of U.S. inflation. Okay.
So it's just like linking to some.
It just says experts rejected the idea that corporations are the main culprit and said the spike in prices follows big federal spending, as I said, heightened demand and supply problems, all of which accompanied the pandemic.
Like, okay.
I mean, look, you're watching them carry water, like, you know, they got to carry water for each other. And it's just so, it's so transparent, right? Like, how are you going to tell a working person who's like looking at the fucking price of like a paper, a roll of paper towels, like just go through the roof suddenly? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh man, I should have fucking stimulus checks, man. Or like you look at, you know, the wealthy just report and these companies report record profits. It's very hard to then be like, try and put this blame back on someone else. Like, yeah, it's the federal government.
Yeah.
It's trying to help people. But ultimately, that is the propaganda that you have to put out to kind of keep people from getting in touch with like any kind of sense of empathy or outrage that needs to be constructively directed at, you know, the oligarchy. So cool, Mark. Keep fucking up the earth.
Pretty cool.
So yeah.
This all could have been avoided if somebody just sacrificed himself and he got laid when he was younger. I'm totally like, this right. all could have been avoided.
Like, that, yeah, this guy's, oh my God, his whole thing of like, we're going to rate how hot chicks are.
I literally, I remember because like when Facebook started, it was when you had to sign up with a college email address.
Yeah.
And I was like in that first wave of people that had it. And it was
so
nuts.
And I remember I thought it was the shit because I was like, bro, you need a college email to get on that shit.
Yeah.
And I did. And I'm like, this shit's fucking not cool. I'm like, I'm still fucking with MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, man. How is Tom?
He's doing good. I don't know. Probably, you know, like, I hate to be like, oh, they're great. And then you're like, he's been donating so much money to the trucker convoy. Like, of course, dude.
Tom wouldn't do us dirty like that.
There have been a few articles like in the last year because people have become so nostalgic of like this sort of binary of like, Tom from MySpace or fuck Zuckerberg, like which one is it going to be? It seems like he's living his best life because he cashed out. But anyway, who'd have thought that something with such a misogynistic origin story could turn into a force of evil?
Who would have thought?
And again, I believe that Facebook wasn't a face that was bitten by a radioactive book.
Well, then I hate it.
Okay, good. I wanted to check in with you, Caitlin, to know about the origin story.
I appreciate that.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. I want to quickly talk about the Olympics as that begins to wrap up. Have any of y'all watched much of it? I watched the one-person bobsleigh, the women's one. That was fun. Mm-hmm. I watched one curling thing.
I haven't seen any of it this year.
Me either.
Yeah. See, it's like people's will for that has slowly been going down because it's just a massive waste of money and energy. But yes, I think as a lot of people... people who listen to this show know we kind of talk about how the overall waste that comes to mind with the Olympics and the displacement of poor people that comes along with hosting an Olympics and building venues that pretty much never get used again. Mm-hmm. All for just a big international dick measuring contest. And when it comes to Beijing, the Winter Olympics there, my God, I had no idea. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of articles being written about it. Like, why are the Winter Olympics happening in a place that gets less than 6 inches of snow every year? And I didn't quite realize what the effort was there. So the reason it doesn't get a lot of snow is already because of just geographically where it's at in the monsoon cycle. But to put it plainly, there's no fucking reason to have a Winter Olympics there. You know what I mean? Like, we might as well have the shit in Long Beach, considering like the amount of like resources that they're using to make snow where it ain't any. An estimated 49 million gallons of water was needed to produce enough snow for the games. A formidable challenge since Beijing suffers from recurring droughts and a declining supply of drinkable water due to global warming. To save groundwater, they also paused irrigation on tens of thousands of acres of farmland. You know, they do say that the water that from the melting snow, the Olympic officials are saying is like, they're going to actually route that to another reservoir to be used again for irrigation, landscaping, et cetera. I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, more than $60 million was spent on equipment from the artificial snow company Techno Alpin, which is based in Italy. Where they're basically buying these like snow guns that are just used to compress air, like using compressed air to like blow out a bunch of frozen water droplets and then make their fake snow. They needed 40 miles of pipe to transport the water. They needed like these snow cats that are, you know, like these tractors to just kind of smooth out the snow and shit. Mm-hmm. And after the Olympics, like they're saying, we hear this every fucking time. China is saying, you know, we're going to put all of this stuff to good use after the Olympics. This wasn't just some one-off thing that we're going to let completely rot like every other Olympic Games that's happened on Earth. And I think most people are looking at just sort of how that sentiment holds up in history. And it almost is like a nailed on guarantee that it's just going to rot and like wither away. Like, you know, in Brazil, like the stuff from 2016 is now like concrete graveyards.
even in Sochi, that was like a winter city or a resort city. They just have like fences up around the old infrastructure, like, get the fuck away from this stuff. And even like from the 2008 games in China, similar stuff. They said, hey, we're going to use everything again. And there's just a lot of unused shit.
So, did they build an entirely new arena from the one that they, from the other Beijing Olympics?
Well, that's like a track and field complex. The mm-hmm. like the bird's nest, I think is what they called it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I haven't watched. But I'd imagine like everything needs to be in either like a proper snowy place to ski. Or if I guess if you're curling, you can use an indoor facility, or if it's hockey. So, yeah, I don't know how they use the bird's nest anymore. If it's just to like.
They should, if they're going to do the Olympics, which like obviously there's arguments to like, why are we doing this? But if they're going to do it, there can be two stadiums mm-hmm. that they reuse every like one winter stadium, one summer stadium. But they reuse them every year. And like, I guess lucky for the people who like live in or near those places and like don't have to travel far, but like the alternative is so awful and wasteful. And why not, you know, World Cup can be held there too in the summer place. Like, don't, like every time they're like, yeah, we're gonna, here's where the next Olympics is and we have to build a new thing, it's just so devastating, like to every, just to like that, the community and the economies of the, like the economy of that community and the whole, the environment, everything.
Hey,
it's so insane.
What? 2028, LA.
I've never been more furious than like with that, because, and they, I love how that we as taxpayers and people that live in Los Angeles were given absolutely no choice about it.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the part that makes me so, like, how come that's not a thing that we get to vote on? To be like, do you want to bring this to our city? And it's like, absolutely not. And like, in fact, I didn't even know that the Super Bowl was going to be here until like a few weeks before. And I was like, how did that completely slip under the radar that, you know, that we are holding it here? And I tweeted about it and so many people were like, wait, what? It's here? And I was like, yeah, there's like no one knew. And so
like, and don't even let us say about the building of the SoFi Stadium, what that did to Inglewood. Like,
oh my God.
Don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about all the fucking subsidies that go to this shit. And you just realize like it's, there's only assistance for the wealthy, really, when it comes down to it.
Oh, my God. And then them sending ICE to like all to like go after all the street vendors.
Yeah.
That were there for the Super. It's like, it's just, it's so gross. And so it's just, ugh, it makes me so mad.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I check out NoOlympicsLA.com to learn about the people trying to organize some sense resistance. And just to inform people just about how fucking much of a waste the Olympics are. And yeah, like I honestly, and I think even in the most charitable version, like, well, we can reform capitalism type thing. It's almost like you'd say like, well, if it's in a place, then you can't build anything new to get the Olympics there. Like that could be a rule where you're just like, okay, you want it. You can't build shit though. You got to have everything that you need. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Otherwise, just fucking, yeah, just do it in one place. I don't think anyone gives a shit. You know, if you're worried about that home field advantage, do it, you know. Do it in Mars or something, or the moon. I'm sure Elon could get behind that. Okay. And then finally, just the really the most pressing debate of our time. So on the show while I was away, and this comes up a lot. We talk about breakfast. We're breakfast lovers here. Mm. Valerie, before you came on, we were talking about a controversial omission of eggs from your breakfast burrito from a very well-known breakfast burrito purveyor in the city. And I won't name them, but let's say it rhymes with Sandy Koufax, the pitcher. I will go on to say that in this show, we like a good debate based on articles from the Takeout. We love the Takeout, the food blog. And this one, they're positing the question, are waffles better than pancakes? Now, I don't know what everyone's feelings are on these two breakfast items. Everyone's got opinions. I know there's nothing worse. The one thing pancakes and waffles have in common, there's nothing worse than having a bad waffle or a bad pancake. I do feel it's easier to fuck up a waffle than it is a pancake.
Mm-hmm.
But I will now open the floor for 17 minutes of open.
Valerie, you go first.
Okay. Here are my thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. First of all, pancakes, absolute, not even a question. They for sure outshine waffles. Waffles, I feel like, First of all, even just being able to order them is kind of risky because it's like waffles seem to be like the McFlurry of restaurants where half the time you go in there and you're like, can I get a waffle? And they're like, sorry, waffle machine's broken. Like every time. It's crazy. And like pancakes are just so much more superior. And I think too, waffles, it's easy because I've worked in places where they had frozen made, like pre-made waffles, and they would use those. But you can't really do that with a pancake, so you know that it's fresh when you're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And like those like really fluffy ones and just like getting like weird, like crazy shit in them and on them. And it's just, I don't know, they're just much more of a creative endeavor, I feel, mm-hmm. with pancakes. And they're so much better.
Caitlin Durante, 17 minutes.
My rebuttal because I'm waffle.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. Mm-hmm. I order pancakes more frequently than I order waffles because waffles are too expensive. And that is a problem with waffles if you're like going out to whatever, like a brunch place. I feel like generally.
Oh, they really try and
mark up those prices because they're like, we had to use a special apparatus or I don't know, but I don't know, something about, even though like the batter is probably the same for pancakes and waffles, right I don't know about food. but I like the texture and the crispiness of a waffle. For some reason the flavor just tastes a little bit better to me when it's in waffle form. And you know, I don't know, I really love it when well done, because I agree it is easier to fuck up a waffle.
Yeah.
But when it's done right, waffles all the way.
Okay. The reason I'm looking at it, the ratios for waffle batter versus pancake batter, waffle contains more sugar, butter, and eggs than pancake
batter. Okay. So it's not the same batter.
So it's more, I mean, you have those elements in them, but there's an increase in that. The sure. stuff that makes it super unhealthy, which is why I think
yummy.
Maybe it's like, that means yumma, yumma, yumma for me. It's hard for me because like, it's weird. As a kid, I grew up eating Eggos and sure, those are shit. Those are some of the, I mean, they're not waffles. They're like waffle shaped frozen things that you eat because, you know, that's what you're able to make yourself as a kid for breakfast.
Right.
Pancakes, I've always shied away from, but I do like. And this is where I'm getting a little bit highfalutin, a souffle pancake.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like a Japanese-style pancake, because that shit is thick daddy, okay?
Yeah.
And the texture is really something else. And I implore you, if you're ever like at an Asian market or something and they have Japanese pancake batter, buy that shit and put yogurt in the mix.
Mm.
You will fucking take your body to a whole other level of glucose spiking or something. I don't know. But it really is delicious. And I think I lean pancake, but okay. I'm waffle curious.
I'll also say too, as a typical white woman, highly recommend the pumpkin pancake mix at Trader Joe's. It's very good. I usually put blueberries in them as well. And I use soy milk for it instead of regular milk. And it's better with butter, but you can also use applesauce instead of butter, and it is very delicious.
Wait, what does applesauce give you? Like a little more?
It's
texture?
Healthier than using butter, and it's a dairy alternative. But it is like it's just better for you. But it's still very good. Like honestly, you probably wouldn't even know the difference if somebody just served you one of those.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Hot tip.
Yeah. The things we learn every day.
Caitlin, can I ask though, does Paddington have a preference?
He hasn't specified. All I know is that he loves marmalade sandwiches. And, you know, there are sandwiches that are made as with like pancakes or waffles as like the bread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's doing that yet.
Yeah. Yet.
Paddington 3.
We'll
I'm writing the script right now. Even though it's already in development with the people who are actually making the movie, I'm writing my own script and maybe I'll throw in there that Pat, and of course he's gonna, because I'm pro waffle, I'm gonna get a hashtag going, Team Waffle.
Kick off the debate online for people to determine, like if Paddington is waffle or pancakes?
Well, no, just just in general, like your preference. So I guess I think we should do hashtag team waffle or hashtag team pancake. Zeitgang, come through.
Let us know.
Let us know where you're at.
And yeah, which is the superior breakfast cake or whatever we want to call that. Mm-hmm. I like the idea though of like, you know, because, you know, we're out here. We know people who are writers and comedians. Like, have you ever met someone who wrote a spec script that no one asked for? And they're like, I'm just working on this spec script. And you're like, why?
You mean they're for like an existing
property?
Because
there needs to be an Ace Ventura 4. And I'm like,
yes.
What?
Okay. So I used to read for like production companies and like script competitions mm-hmm. and like evaluate scripts based on whatever. But someone wrote a sequel to the movie Deliverance. What? Someone wrote Deliverance 2.
Oh my God.
And I had to be like, well, first of all, obviously pass because you don't own the rights to this property.
Yeah.
And secondly, this script is not good. But someone did take the time to write Deliverance 2.
Wow. And what was this, like more like banjos?
They just go back, or I think it's like different characters, but they go back into the woods and scary stuff happens.
Ugh.
Deliverance 2 is just Deliverance in space. That's all. We're just changing the location.
Right. Deliverance in space. That's actually... hold on.
Elon Musk.
There's your script. Someone just needs to map Deliverance onto a space aesthetic. And now we're like, this is breathtaking. It challenged everything I believed.
Oh my God. Zero gravity banjo? I don't know if the world's ready.
Oh man, like a sentient AI is doing that scene. Yeah, that would be pretty wild. I just think about that too, because I love the idea of like you being like, I'm writing the Paddington 3 script. I don't give a fuck. Because this person, I'm not going to name names, but I knew somebody who was very diligently working on an Ace Ventura sequel script when there was no talk of another Ace Ventura film coming out. But like in their mind, they're like, this is the sickest shit that will ever be read. And when I submit this, they're going to have to make it. And I was like, that's kind of not how the industry works.
I'm pretty sure this is how And Just Like That got made.
Right? Just
the sequel
force.
That no one asked for.
Right? It's like, it's got all your favorite characters, except the one that most people universally agree is the funniest one of the bunch.
Oh.
You're going to love it. But you get changed.
Will I watch every season they make? Of course I will.
Yeah. Me too. I watched the whole damn thing and cracking my knuckles being like, this is fucking dumb. Why are we doing this?
I know. Oh, it hurts.
Oh, man. But it's, yeah.
But listen, worth it for the Che Diaz discourse because it's just been very fun.
Yeah. I love, the Che Diaz discourse has been like one of those, you know, pleasant surprises from this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Valerie, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time having you on. Please, please come back. Where can people find you, follow you, support you, observe you, watch you? And what's a tweet that you've been liking?
Oh, well, you can find me on social media at Valerie_Tossie. I'm mostly on Twitter and Instagram. I have the same handle for TikTok. Will I eventually use it? Maybe not. But you can find me on there. My new album is out, Beach Trash. You can find that pretty much everywhere. And if you're local to Boston, I'll be in Boston next weekend at a Hideout, which is going to be really fun, at the White Bull Tavern. And a tweet that I love is one of my... It's from last year, I think, but I can't stop quoting it. It's so funny. The tweet is about to invent yard gnomes. Babe, the lawn looks great. How can we get a little fucking freak in here? How can we get a little fucking freak in here? It's one of I quote it every day. It's one of my favorite things. It's so funny.
Dude, how? We need a little fucking freak up in here.
A little fucking freak in here.
Oh my God. Caitlin, thank you so much for helping me with this wonderful second rate podcast.
My pleasure.
Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you, see you? What's the tweet that you like?
You can catch me on Nintendo Switch Online. I'll be there playing Pokemon Arceus, if that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. You can catch me on Wordle with 100% like streak. Get it right every day. You can check out Paddington 3 in theaters, written by Caitlin Durante. It's coming out soon. No, for real, though. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Caitlin Durante. I have a screenwriting class that I'm teaching coming up, my intro level class. It starts in end of April, I want to say. But if you go to my website, caitlindurante.com/classes, you'll see the link for that. I still have spots left in that class. And check out the Bechdel cast, hosted by myself and Jamie Loftus, and we analyze movies through an intersectional feminist lens.
There it is.
Oh, and then a tweet I've been liking. I've been thinking a lot about Jane Austen recently because we covered a few movies on the Bechdel cast that are adaptations of her work. And let's see, at Galactic Idiots tweeted, and this is from a while ago, but I loved it so much. Jane Austen's works are timeless classics because she knew the real horrors in life are having to listen to men who think they're better than you and receiving unannounced visitors. So.
Oh, fuck yeah. Some tweets that I like. First one is from at Russ Fisher. It's a picture of Don Draper from Mad Men in front of like a presentation board, and he's like got his hands open, like, listen to this idea. And behind him, the board reads Disney Prisons. Because I think if you heard about the new planned Disney communities that they have, I'm like, yep. That'll be next, probably. Mm-hmm. If you're a transgressor in a master planned Disney community, you'll probably be put in the county Disney lockup. And then one more, Tim Long, L-E-O-N-G, tweeted, I was today's years old when I found out Marissa Tomei is an anagram for It's a me, Mario.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, is that real?
I think so. As an anagram aficionado, I do think that's correct.
Oh my God, that is incredible. God.
I'm sorry, y'all. I had to. We got Caitlin all with the anagram names, but Marissa Tomei just came through with It's a me. It's a me, Mario. So out to that. That really got me. That one. Really
I didn't expect there to be a mic drop in the presentation of tweets, but here we are.
Yeah, that was, and it's not often we get those. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram, also TikTok. But I usually just lurk on there because I'm trying to learn what the kids think's funny on there, and then I usually get that alert where the person's like, "Hey, hi, you've been scrolling for like fucking 8 hours, fool." The fuck's wrong with me? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. More on that later. Find me there. Also, my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk 90 Day Fiancé and get really high. That's just a healing show for me. And you can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, all that, Daily Zeitgeist. And, you know, check it out. We got the songs we write out on. We got the footnotes there.
Footnotes?
Thank you, Caitlin. Yes. And obviously, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And that also means a song that we write out on. And the song that we're going to write out on today, you know, keeping it black for Black History Month. You know we're going to do that. This one is a track from Flying Lotus and Kendrick Lamar called Never Catch Me. And it's a fantastic song. Thundercat is obviously ripping on bass in that song, but he's not, you know, technically featured on it. The video, though, is fucking amazing. If you've never seen the music video for Never Catch Me, I believe it's directed by, I want to say, Hiro Murai, maybe? You know, because Hiro Murai knows how to direct some shit. Let me just confirm that. Yep, Hiro Murai. Okay, shout out nice. To him. A fantastic body of work when it comes to directing music videos and just generally anything he touches. So check this one out, Never Catch Me, Flying Lotus, Kendrick Lamar. We'll see you in a little bit later. We'll tell you what's trending. So until then, you know, keep your head up. Bye.
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 I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Zeitgang, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.